irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Jenny Hubby, only on LA Talk Radio.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. It is Monday, August 13th, and in Texas, where I'm calling from, it's a gloomy, rainy day, which we don't mind here in Texas in August. It's under 100, and that's good. And LA, I bet it's sunny and hot there. And we have a guest today from upstate New York, and her name is Piper. And I can't wait to hear what's going on the eastern side of the country, weather-wise and coaching-wise as well. So welcome to the Concierge Coaches Show, everyone. And welcome to the show, Piper.
Thank you so much, Jenny. I'm so glad to join you today. And I'm mirroring your weather up here in the Hudson Valley with a equally gloomy and rainy day. So we are in a similar position.
Well, let's see if we can cheer each other up and cheer up a few listeners. It's always fun to talk about business and coaching and new ideas. So I'm really happy to have you on the show. I'll give
Thank
a little
you.
Bit of absolutely. And my phone, I think sometimes my connection has a bit of a delay. So if it sounds like I'm talking over you, it's not on purpose. All right.
Got it.
Yeah. So let me just give a little overview for our listeners on how you and I know each other, and then let's kind of take it from there. So what I just wanted to give the listeners a sense of who you are, Piper, from what I know about you. I remember meeting you when you came into the coaching class, and I was one of the trainers, one of the facilitators for the coach certification class, and I was just so impressed with your presence, your spirit, your energy, and your excitement to be there and to learn about coaching and about really how to help clients in a very deep spiritual way transform their lives. And I saw that in you. And then you and I have stayed in touch, and I referred someone to you on the East Coast that was on the East Coast or moving, relocating out there. And we got reconnected, and I wanted you to come on the show. And something that just for our listeners, something that Piper mentioned was that she was just launching her business. And I love what your niche is all about and what your specialty is. And I was like, how can I have you on the show? How can we get you here? It's not like you can share a lot of experience in your business as a coach, but you can share a lot of professional experience, personal experience. And then also a new twist to our show today is you asking me about the coaching business. And Bruce is, I know you wanted to talk to Bruce as well, and he wasn't able to make the show today. So I hope that I can be as interesting as Bruce and I are together.
And
yeah. And so I'm really looking forward to our convo. And so let's just kind of get started with, if you will sort of give a little bit about your background, how you got into coaching, so that people know where you're coming from, what you're all about, and then we'll take it from there.
Great. Thank you so much. So I've been in real estate investment and real estate development for the last 10 years of my life, and I'm still working in that field, but in the past couple of years, I just started to feel like something was missing. In my coach training, we talk about the material and the spiritual world, and the material world was there and thriving and strong, but I was always looking for ways to kind of fill up my soul cup, if you will. And one of those ways was giving back somehow and using my skills and my mentoring and developing those skills and helping those around me in business and personal lives and, you know, just overall life improvement. And, you know, this just kind of popped into my mind. I didn't even know life coaching was a field that you could get into. And then I met somebody who told me that she was going through this training, and my ears perked up and started researching it. And it called my name fully. It just had me written all over it. So that's how you and I met. And I know we share similar stories, which is really cool. But right now I'm identifying myself as a spiritual development coach and an empowerment coach, because I feel that's something that everyone can use and it can apply to so many different fields of our life. And so it'll be really interesting for you and I to chat today, Jenny, because I know that you and I have a lot of similarities in our story. And so that brings me to my first question for you. And I was going to ask you about the moment when you knew life coaching was your calling.
Good question. Ooh, you're good. Bruce, I think we're going to have Piper on the show as an interviewer when he's listening to the show. So, yeah, that's a great question, because I do feel that coaching, being a coach, takes 100% commitment. And really any kind of business where we're ultimately responsible for the activity and the outcome takes a commitment that's unwavering. And so a friend of mine invited me to a class at a church in South Lake, which is in, for those of you that don't live in Texas, it's in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. And the class was called Women in Transition. So my friend knew I was going through a major transition in my life. And she asked me, and she was as well. And she asked me, she said, do you want to go to this class, Women in Transition? And I'm like, well, duh. Yeah. I mean, isn't woman and transition, like, aren't they synonymous? I feel like I'm always in transition. So it was a free class, and it was an 8-week class. And there were two facilitators. One was a therapist and one was a coach. And she called herself a life coach, and she was a psychologist by education and actually by profession. And she had decided to transition from therapy to coaching. And she didn't really talk about the hows and the whys in this class, because it wasn't necessarily about her. It was, you know, really about those that were in the class, the students. But she did talk about it a little bit, just a little bit, and why, kind of, you know, what she did for a living, not necessarily why she had changed professions. And I don't know what it was that she said, but I was like, whatever she's got, that's what I want. That's what I want to do. Because I was looking at going back and getting my master's degree and going into counseling. And I felt like at my point in my career, I was really at a point where I was starting to wind down my career, and my husband especially starting to wind down his career. So why would I be ramping mine up? Why would I go to school and get work for 4 years to get a license when we were really on the tail end of our careers, or pretty close to it? And so I was really in a weird spot in my life, and in making a decision of what I was going to do with the rest of my life, you know? And so I met with Dr. Gardner. It was Dr. Jane Gardner that was a facilitator in this class. So I asked to meet with her, and I told her I wanted to become a life coach. And she asked me about my goals. And I told her, you know, that I had considered getting my master's and maybe my PhD in counseling. And she was like, well, you can do anything you want to do. And I started crying when she said that, because I was in such a frustrating place in my career. And I knew there was more to life. Like you said, I had been very successful in sales. And so the material was there, but the spiritual was still lacking. There was nothing filling my, well, there was something filling my soul on a personal level, but not professionally. And so from that point of meeting with her, she said, what you're going to have to do is hire a coach. If you want to be a coach, you need to be coached. You need to be a client and you need to have a coach. So I looked into that. It was very expensive for where I was at in my life with three kids about to go to college, you know, one after another, and probably weddings coming up. And so it wasn't the right time for me to stop working full time. And so it was very frustrating, but at the same time, I knew that I had to get a coach. And so I knew I needed to invest in that, even though that was a big commitment for me as well. So I hired a coach and I still have that coach today, 10 years later. And I looked at my paperwork, Piper, that I had filled out with her, the coaching agreement. I'd actually looked at that a couple years ago when I started my coaching business. I just pulled out my paperwork. I can't even believe I saved it. You know, it was like 8 years later. And what I wrote as my goal for hiring my coach, I said, I want a 5-year career plan and I want to become a coach one day.
Beautiful.
So that's
and here you are.
And here I am. So I'm a big believer in writing our goals down because I do believe that when we write something down, there's something very spiritual and very powerful and intentional about that, that we will eventually get it.
Absolutely. Manifestation at its finest.
Yes.
And it's so neat, Jenny, because you've taken your coaching business in so many different directions and bring your skills and your knowledge and your coaching on so many different levels. I know this radio show is one of them. I know you work with people who are recovering from different addictions. I know that you run your own consulting firm. It's amazing how many different platforms you've brought your coaching to. Did I miss anything in there? I'm sure there's things that I don't know about you.
A little bit of writing and a little bit of training, but you got it. You really did get it because the consulting piece covers the training that I do and really the writing as well. So yes, and that is a challenge. In fact, I'm revamping my website and Nicole Bauer, you know her, she is helping me with the content of my website. And I think that for me, the challenge of messaging my services and my niche, what's challenging for me is I've done so many things in my life and my career. And how do you boil that down to one sentence? I mean, it's pretty hard,
yeah.
Right?
It's so hard. And that's something that you always challenged us to do that I have a similar hard time with.
It is really hard. You and I've talked about that. And I love that yours, at least from when I remember going through the training with you, with the marketing training. And I remember you saying relationships and then feeling like, well, it's so like, is that lame or does that sound hokey or whatever? But really, you come down to everyone. It's very important for everyone to have people to have a good relationship with themselves. So that covers everybody if they want that relationship.
Yes. Yeah. Right. That's the basis of it all, is our foundation of the relationship that we have with ourselves is a platform for how we reflect in the world and how we then move into relationships with other people and any dynamic. So I think that's why this work that we do is so grounding and essential to the way we live in this world.
It's I know.
Really exciting.
I mean, I think about people, including myself, that can work for 10 to 15 years or more, be very successful financially, materially, and yet feel exhausted, feel empty, feel defeated, depleted. And then I think about people that work 10, 15, maybe 20 years, and they feel energized by what they're doing. I'm Yes. sure you've seen both those scenarios.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it just, there was something in getting into the whole coaching business and being able to maximize your skills with other, with aiding other people in their own journeys, that just, there's nothing to replace that. And I truly believe that's our purpose in this world, is to serve others. And what an incredible opportunity we have. Which actually brings me perfectly to my next question for you, Jenny. Could you describe for me the most profound moment you've experienced in your journey of becoming a life coach, whether in training or working directly with a client?
That's a good question too. I would say it for me to be a great coach, I need to be a great me, whatever that means, and evolve me and my authentic self and my empowering beliefs. Because if I do that, if I experience how wonderful that is in life to feel that empowerment that I have, that unlimited, infinite power that's at my disposal at any time, if I choose to utilize it, then I can help other people do the same. Those that want to. Yes. Not everybody believes that yet, or not everyone maybe wants that, but the people that really want that so bad that they'll do anything to get it, whatever it takes, then I can help those people. So for me, the most profound moment that comes to mind, and there have been quite a few, but the one that comes to mind is when I went through level 2 training with the Divine Intelligence Institute with Dr. Gardner. When I went through it, it was the Gardner Institute. So that's why I hesitated a minute, because she's changed the name to Divine Intelligence Institute. So I had just come back from my daughter's wedding in LA. My daughter lives in Glendale and works for Live Nation, for Ticketmaster out there. And I just come back from her wedding, and she's my only daughter, my only child. And it was so different than I expected, the whole wedding experience. And there were some parts I thought would be really rough, and they were wonderful. And there were parts I thought would be wonderful, and they were rough. And I was so confused when I came back, like, what just happened? I don't even know what just happened. So ironically, a month after I got back, I went through the divine intelligence process training, so that, like you, I became certified as a divine intelligence coach facilitator. And so that, in that training, as you know, Dr. Gardner, she doesn't lecture, she teaches through experience. So she had us do a mini retreat. And you know what that is for the listeners. Yeah. It is really a very cathartic process. Some of our coaching sessions lead up to this cathartic process, where we were able to work up to a place where we identify where those limiting beliefs are coming from. And then we are able to release those people and those memories, and even ourselves, from that hold that they have on us that keep us stuck in life. That's a just simple, over simplistic way of describing it. I had such a profound spiritual experience that it changed me. And through that experience, what I was able to identify is my connection to my mom and these limiting beliefs that I had from my upbringing. And they weren't really my beliefs, and they weren't necessarily limiting beliefs. They were just beliefs that weren't really mine. And so I literally felt like I wasn't myself at my daughter's wedding, and I couldn't figure out what was happening and why. And I was able to work through all this in this experiential moment and understand why I was so confused during the wedding. And there were just a lot of things, feelings, and emotions coming up. And I sorted all that out and I released all that. And it, the next morning, the leaves on the trees looked clear. Every song I heard had a message for me. It was like such a spiritual experience. And it changed my perspective about what had happened, what was going to happen, my relationship with my daughter. And I really feel if that hadn't happened, I would have stayed stuck in this weird place. And it wasn't anything anybody did at the wedding. It was just a combination of weird things that, and I was in a weird place. I don't know if that's ever happened to you, but it just was so much swirling around. I couldn't really sort things out. So that,
wow,
that's what I want for people. I was able to move past that experience and understand and put it in perspective and not stay stuck there. And that's what I want for people.
Wow. That just blew me away, Jenny. That is so profound. And thank you for being so raw and transparent and sharing that story. It's very powerful to be able to see what these tools that we've gained through the coaching schools and training, to be able to apply them to ourselves and enlighten ourselves in the way that we shine the flashlights on the dark, scary corners and ask what's there. And, yeah. and find out what it is, and then be able to have a deeper understanding of ourselves. So that's really, really incredible. Thank you so much for sharing that. So tell me about, in your coaching business, do you have a specific philosophy, style, or attitude that you adhere to most in your coaching business? And was this profound experience, did that bring a new element to your own coaching skills?
Yes, it definitely did. I think at that point I was a new coach. I had been coaching full-time professionally for a year, and I think what I was struggling with my first year was who am I as a coach, and how does this look to really help people transform their lives? And I knew I'd transform mine, but I wanted to be sure that I knew who I wanted to help, who I could help, who wanted that help, and then how was I going to help them? And so I think that moment for me was so eye-opening, because it reminded me, reinforced to me, as long as I'm evolving and I'm working on me, then I can help other people. I've got those skills, and I know what it looks like for someone really, because I think you and I have this in common, Piper, is when we know how to be successful, we know how to achieve, but we also, there's been something missing. And so if we want something different in our life, if we want it badly enough, we're going to figure out how to get it. But this getting the spiritual piece is totally different than getting the material piece. I always thought, you know, you have to work hard for everything you get. And what Dr. Gardner taught us through the neuroscience and the spirituality is that if we can rewire our brain and clear out all of those limiting beliefs and understand how much power we possess, then we can create what we want. Instead of going and getting it, we bring it to us. We create this life that we want. And I actually was just thinking about that this week with a big goal that my husband and I have for our future home. And I was thinking about how everything, most things in my past that I achieved by trying to avoid something, like avoiding being homeless. And that's why I was so successful. But this time, I'm achieving something by creating what I want instead of avoiding what I don't want. Does that make sense?
Oh, it makes perfect sense. Makes perfect sense. Something that I see in you, Jenny, that you're, I think one of your best skills of from an outsider standpoint is you see the best in people probably way before they can see the best in themselves, depending on what point of the journey they're in. And
definitely.
I think that's such a skill that you have, that you bring in your coaching businesses, helping people understand themselves better by seeing them through their best selves through your eyes, because you make them realize that in themselves.
Thank you. I love doing that. I see the strengths in people, and I see what they've accomplished in their past. I help bring that out in them, and then help them leverage that to create the life that they want, that life that's has meaning and impact and pays forward, as you say. I love doing that.
I think it's what all the world is seeking.
I agree.
So Jenny, we've talked a lot about Dr. Jane Gardner, our guru, and she is such an accomplished coach, and just cannot wait to see her influence and her methodology and philosophy spread farther and farther. But I also wanted to ask you if you have other life coaches, speakers, authors who have influenced you equally or, you know, to some extent in your profession.
Well, I think this is a really important topic of conversation for new coaches. And the reason I say that, Piper, is that there are with technology today and social media, if we really want to, we can become a celebrity, a social media celebrity, or whatever you want to call it, and that's great. It's good marketing. But the question that I always want to ask is, who is my target audience? Is it the whole world? Is it everyone out there? And I want them to think I'm really great and awesome. Or is it really the people I want to have, the clients that I want to have those deep, meaningful relationships with, because that's where the change happens. That's where the transformation happens. And so I really look up to people that, where their authenticity shows, like their vulnerability shows, their strength shows, like they show all of who they are. Like Brené Brown is someone I respect so much because she talks about her vulnerability. She talks about her courage. She talks about funny things. She talks about strength. And think how many people know who she is today. And she is such a role model, and she really became a role model by talking about, quote, weakness, you know, shame and vulnerability. And so I just, to me, she's just one of my examples of authenticity. So I love authenticity. I'm always drawn to that. I think most of us are. And so she's one, and Dr. Gardner is, because to me, Dr. Gardner, rather than being an instructor or facilitator, she's really truly a teacher, because she's a student herself, a student of life, a student of spirituality, a student of neuroscience and how they go together, how we can use the science that proves that spirituality is power and is creativity and is creation. So love those two. I also love my coach because she's authentic and she's strong and she's walked the road that I'm walking. She's like a few years ahead of me in her personal and professional life. And her name is Bernita Stege, and she's amazing. She's up in Seattle. And then a few others. I love the Four Agreements guy, Don Miguel Ruiz. And yeah. his other books, Love is one of them. Oh gosh, I forgot the name of it.
I know about the Four Agreements book.
That was amazing.
Agreements, but yeah. He's got a couple of really good ones.
He does.
But I love what you said about, you know, sharing your vulnerability and how important that is in the coaching business, because, you know, especially on social media platforms, we all want to express this image of success and of, you know, that we're doing great things and how wonderful our lives are. Be like me. You know, that's kind of wasn't a very much a big undertone of social media as it kind of rose. But I've actually seen a shift from the people I follow and the accounts that I follow on social media. I've seen a shift of those who are more vulnerable about any topic of life gaining much more popularity and following, because it's such so much more a real approach, and the human experience in that life isn't perfect and that it's hard and that we're all in this together. And that's one of the things that Brene Brown talks about so much, is the power and vulnerability. And so I think that is our duty in so many ways, just like you said, is to continue expressing our own vulnerabilities and the way we're working on them. And that is helping other people.
That is a great way to describe it, as being our duty to be ourselves.
Yes. Yes.
That's cool.
I love that.
And I'm glad that you're seeing that too, Piper, in media, is more vulnerability, more authenticity. I mean, who wants to see that someone's life is always perfect? Because one, we either doubt it, or two, we feel horrible because ours isn't.
Yes.
So it's not very motivating, is it?
No, it's really hard. It's really hard. And, it's funny because, you know, in the sales business, I think you can relate to this too. I was reading an article the other night, and it was an article on how to make life's biggest decisions. And it was just kind of giving you an outline to the things that you should think about when you're trying to pick A or B. And one of the things it says is that we always shoot for A plus, right?
Mm-hmm.
But nothing's ever A plus. Everything has some sort of downside or downfall to that decision or opinion. So shoot for B plus and see if you can reach A plus. And don't be afraid of the consequences you've made with going in one direction versus the other. That just spoke to me a lot in life coaching and in the sales and real estate business, is when we are trying to achieve something, that it's not always going to be perfect, and we can shoot for perfection, but we have to also accept the things that aren't perfect about our lives and about what we're buying or what we're doing or the decisions that we're making. Mm-hmm. And I was wondering, you know, how do you, in your coaching business, when someone's not reaching their perfection and maybe doesn't have the time or the patience, what kind of tools do you apply in your coaching with them?
I hear what you're saying about achievement and our, you know, I think it kind of goes back to our material world, that we do live in a material world. We look for results and outcomes. And yet you and I, being in sales, we were trained that the activity is most important. We'll never have outcome without activity. And with activity, yes, we may not have the exact outcome we planned. It might be greater, it might be lesser, but we will have outcome if we have activity. Yeah. And so, you know, that, and so that, that's just a comment to some comments that you made. And then back to your question, it is difficult when I see how great someone is. I just recently had a client that she's just amazing. She's beautiful. She's smart. She's young. She has everything going for her, except her limiting beliefs are so strong and powerful. And as we say in the divine intelligence process, her conditioned self is one of the strongest I've ever seen. So that's the persona basically that carries those limiting beliefs and protects her from taking risks. And so we've got to about halfway through the coaching process, which takes about 6 months. And we got to what she considered to be the tough part, and she stopped. And she felt that she needed treatment for depression. And so I referred her to a therapist right there in the session. She was with me face to face, and we called a therapist, and she left a message for the therapist. The therapist called her back within an hour, and she didn't take the call and has never called the therapist back. And so not only did she not want to finish the coaching, complete the coaching process, and get to the other side of her authentic self, she really shut down on the therapy as well and the treatment. And it's very sad. And I stay in touch with her, and she'll respond to me, you know, and just texting and that sort of thing. But she, I connected with the person that referred her to me, and it was confirmed. She's just not willing right now. My gut tells me she doesn't believe that she deserves to be happy.
Oof.
Yeah. And it hurts. It hurts to watch. Yeah. However, what I learned through, I'm lucky enough, some people may find this crazy to say, for me to say, but I'm lucky enough to be a member of Alcoholics Anonymous. And something that we learn in AA is that AA is not for the people that need it. It's for the people that want it. So my coaching isn't for people that need it. It's for people that want it.
Yes. Yes. And I think that's the only way we can be coached successfully too, is by actually wanting it for yourself. I think that's the only ticket to success for life coaching to get you the place you want to go, is you have to be willing to accept your fears and jump into the unknown. And it's such a scary thing, you know, walking off a ledge. But then once you take the plunge and realize how supported you are and how many tools you have to get you where you need to go, it's a magical place, that in between.
And if, you know, if we've never been there, it is hard to believe how wonderful it would be. And it's just so difficult to believe. But that's where... the only way I've ever changed is to be willing to trust the process. And I remember people telling me that in treatment, when I had treatment, they were like, just trust the process. If it doesn't work, you can always go back to your old ways. You know,
yeah.
You can always go back to that, which I didn't want to go back. So it is hard to watch. But at the same time, I will talk with my coach about a difficult situation with a client, and just talk through to see if there's anything I could do differently in the future. Yeah. And so that I can see this, maybe I can see it earlier. Sometimes maybe, you know, clients will say they're willing to do anything, but when it comes down to it, maybe they're not. And it's just a part of life. So, yeah.
Yeah, the resistance factor, and I think we've all experienced that in our own journeys.
Yes.
And I think that's too why Dr. Jane has us all go through the process ourselves before we are allowed to and able to work through the process with other people, is because then we've felt all the same emotions and the fear and the resistance and been able to work through it in our own way to then be able to guide people in their own processing.
I agree. I think that's what's so powerful about being a coach, is that we are a guide, we're a partner. And how can we partner with somebody in their life if we haven't experienced our own life?
Exactly. So, and that kind of touches on another part of the set of questions that I had for you, because I've seen it a little bit in my own beginnings of my own coaching business, is how can you not take it personally when or if your client isn't succeeding or is resistant to that? And we may have just answered our own question by our previous conversation, but I was just wondering if there's anything that you use in your own practice or with yourself that you don't take it personally, or maybe you just don't because you understand that it's their journey and that's them, and you know it's what they're willing to accept. But do you have any other tips for new coaches who, you know, might find that really hard when they aren't having as high of a success rate with people as they thought they might?
Yeah, that's a good question, a big question, Piper. I think there are a lot of factors in that, in that issue, if you will, that challenge. One is our messaging up front and who we're speaking to, so that we're attracting our niche market, the people that we really want to work with and we believe in, we fully believe we can help. And then it's also up to me to accept people that fit into my model, my coaching model. And so if I accept someone that I'm only 50-50 that I can help them, I have to really evaluate. I have to evaluate my coaching them just like they have to evaluate their coaching with me. And so yeah. If I accept someone that's not really fitting into my niche, it's probably not going to go in an ideal manner because I'm not the best coach for them. So it's important for me to refer out early on if I'm not the right coach for them.
Absolutely. Actually, you'll probably recognize this term, but you know, in the sales world, we call it losing fast, right?
Yes.
Don't be afraid to lose fast.
That's right.
Because you're saving energy on all fronts.
That's right. It's painful to lose slow. And I found that. And I think most of us that start a new business will experience that early on. It's so natural to want to accept all clients. And it seems like the right thing to do, but it really isn't. It's really important that we're clear. And that helps. And then really sponsoring people in AA is one of the biggest spiritual gifts I've been given, because it helps me stay sober, but it helps me not take things personally, just to understand that everybody has their own journey at their own time. And I don't get to decide when they're ready. They get to decide that, and I get to respect that. And so I really do ask, can I do anything better or different to help them? And I will ask them that at times. I will also assess with them, kind of scale with them, like, you know, how important is this to you? And that really helps me determine if there's anything I can do different. So I think we're, I know we could talk longer. Let's wrap up. And I mean,
okay.
I tell you, Piper,
yeah,
we could talk forever. So let's sort of wrap it.
All right. Yeah. So I've got one last question for you. Okay. And it's a good way to end things today. So I was just going to ask you if you, what advice you can give to me and to those who are just beginning their career as a life coach. What's your best advice for us?
Best advice to you is that if you know this is what you're called to do, then find a way to do it. And it's not, I don't mean that in a pressure, from a perspective of putting pressure. Let me say it a different way. If you know this is your calling and this is what you're meant to do, you will find a way to do it.
Yes.
And it will be at the right time. It doesn't mean today, but it will be at the right time. And this is a part of your journey. Because remember, it took me 8 years to launch full time once I decided that this is what I wanted to do. So that would be my encouraging words to you.
I love that. Figure out what you want and then let yourself have it.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely.
That's
so
beautiful.
You just hearing you interview me, I think people get a sense of who you are, Piper, and your spirit. And so for those that want to talk to you more about coaching with you, what is your contact info? Share that with everyone.
Sure. Sure. So my name is Piper Broderick, and you can contact me through email. That's my best method. And my email is hello@coachpiper.com. And I can work over the phone, via FaceTime, meet in person, any platform available to us. And I'm really excited about stepping into the coaching world and finding my niche in the ways that I can help people grow in their own spiritual journey and their relationship with themselves and empowering themselves in this world, whether it's professionally or personally or in relationships. I'm really excited about this future and already the things that are kind of that I'm attracted by taking this own step in my personal life. So thank you so much for bringing me on the show today, Jenny. I really appreciate it. It was really fun to talk to you.
It was so much fun. I love your wise questions, deep questions, and, you know, coaching. That's what coaching is all about, is those powerful questions. And you've got that down, Piper. So thank you for joining us. I can't wait to follow your business, your coaching business, and your career as it develops. Thank you, everyone, for joining us today. And again, I'm Jenny Hubby, and I am a professional coach in the Dallas-Fort Worth area with clients all over. And you can reach me at jenny@jhubconsulting.com. And that's jenni@jhubconsulting.com. Or you can go to my website, jhubconsulting.com, jhubconsulting.com. And thank you, everyone. Thanks again, Piper. And thanks, everyone, for joining us today on LA Talk Radio on the Concierge Coaches Show. And we'll hear, talk to you next week.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Jenny Hubby, only on LA Talk Radio.